Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into the Jayhawk Talk podcast. I am Kevin. Joined with me, as always, in the Jayhawk Talk studios, Andrew. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm feeling good, Kevin. We beat Kentucky.
Anytime we did.
Anytime you beat Kentucky, no matter what the circumstances, up or down, you shoot 20% from the field, it doesn't matter. You beat Kentucky. Take right. that for what it is, folks. I think some folks are feeling a little bit down on that win. How could you ever feel down?
Don't feel down.
On a Kentucky
Don't
win.
Don't feel down.
Right.
That's a victory against Big Blue Nation.
Right.
We'll take it.
And that's three in a row. We had two games this week. I think they showed a lot about our team, good and bad, kind of the direction of where this team's going to go. I have good feelings, but we have some work to do. We also, before we get into this week, we're going to probably talk some football.
A little football.
A little bit. Are we going to? Okay.
Just a little bit. Because there's a lot of hot takes to be said.
There's a lot of, we probably only talk about football when there's off the field stuff, because we really don't want to talk about on the field stuff. So because
it's tough to
there's
talk
some
about
off the field stuff that we'll talk about that. You know, there's so many hot takes flying around, and unfortunately, I just don't think I have an opinion.
Oh, man, I have a lot of opinions, but I'm not going to get, real strong into them.
I'm going to let you give both sides of that, and then I'm going to make up my opinion on that.
Okay, deal.
Okay.
We'll try to sway you.
All right, but let's talk about the Champions Classic. Let's just
get
into that. That was the earlier game, the first game of last week, and we were the champions of the Champions Classic over the
We
Kentucky
were the champions of the Champions Classic. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. Well,
can you prove that we were not the champions?
Duke won too, but we also won. So we are the champions of the Champions Classic. It was a 65-61 victory. We've now won three in a row against Big Blue Nation and 6 of 9. This stems back to the Tubby Smith era and the Billy Gillespie era, the 6 of 9. Let's forget about that one a couple years ago. That was terrible. Yeah,
there's a couple in there.
There's a couple bad ones in there. But we went three in a row against Kentucky in three straight seasons. Kevin, what were some of the big takeaways?
I don't know, Andrew. I thought this was kind of one of those grinded out games that Self kind of likes. You know, after the game, he was actually fired up. He kind of, you know, obviously we couldn't shoot the ball. We couldn't make a basket from anywhere. We shot terrible shot selection. Kentucky's length, as we talked about in this podcast last week, was going to bother us. It definitely bothered us. But, Andrew, we still found a way to win the game. That's what Self was digging. He was kind of one of those, all right, let's see how tough my guys are. Let's see if they can come through at the in the closing of the game and put it together, and they did. Made some free throws late, clutch three late, got some big rebounds late. I thought it was one of those games, Andrew, like, can't play your best, but you still find a way to win. I like to see that.
I think so, too. You know, before we get on further, I think there was a couple standout players. Devontae, I don't know if he was a standout player. He shot 3 for 14 from the field. Newman, 4 for 14, and Vic, 4 for 13. But a question I have for you, and this doesn't necessarily relate to the Kentucky game, but just generally through this season, is LeGerald Vic our best overall player so far?
I think you can argue him or Svi. Svi's been pretty good too. And Svi's actually quietly been getting a few rebounds and assists and steals here and there too. Not quite as much as Vic, especially in the rebound department, but I think Vic has been real freaking good. And we had a talk about this before the season of, would Vic and Svi be kind of trading minutes, and who would be on the court when one was sitting? They're both going to be on the court. Like,
they have to be.
They have to be on the court. Like, that's it. Yeah. Even with Billy comes back, if Billy comes back, we're going to talk about that too. I think that these two are going to see a ton of minutes together because they both add a lot. And man, I've been very, very pleasantly surprised with what we've seen from both of them.
And let's move on and talk about Doak. I love Doak. I love Doug. So he didn't miss a shot in the season until Friday. He missed two. So I think he's 19 for 21 on the season, which is about a 90% shooting clip. This is what it tells me about him. He needs to be taking more shots.
Yes.
And he needs, if that average comes down to 70 or 65 or 60, 55, it doesn't matter. He needs to be taking more shots, because if you get him a good entry pass, there is a very good chance that he's going to make it.
Either that or get fouled. Like, and that's it. Like, he's either going to make it or get fouled.
Which is also an issue. Getting fouled, you know.
You know, yes.
Your points expectancy on him getting fouled is like 0.7.
Well, okay, here's the thing. If I agree, and it's not necessarily an efficient offensive scheme if we are just going hack-a-doke. But the hack-a-doke will still help us out in the long run throughout the game, because guys will have foul trouble, and that will help clear lanes. Guys will not be, you'll have the backups in there or whatever. Like, hack-a-doke is fine. Is there a better way? Hack-a-doke? Is there a better?
Yeah, that works.
Does that work?
We can't do better than that. Let's not try to. Like, it's hack-a-doke. If that's what immediately comes to mind, then that's what
hack-a-doke. I mean, hack-a-doke, hopefully he can start making like 60% from free throws, like 58%.
If he shoots 60%, he's 57%. First team all Big 12.
Because he's going to have some opportunities. But Andrew, the one thing that jumped out to me about Doke, it wasn't his efficiency on offense. A couple things. One, he only had 3 fouls in that game. He played 34 minutes and had 3 fouls. Now, some of that was our defensive scheme a little bit, and they sort of let him it wasn't as of I don't know how to explain it, but it wasn't like a situation where they were trying to protect him a little bit. But Andrew, he looks light too. I mean, he was hedging ball screens and like running around hard in those 34 minutes. He looks like he's, man, I don't know, man. He looks light to me.
Yeah, well, minute 32, minute 33, he looked a little gassed.
Well, he played 34 minutes.
He looks a little gassed.
He played 34
Devontae
minutes.
Can play 34.
Is that the most minutes he's going to play all year? 34?
Well, hopefully. Hopefully. If he has to play 34 minutes in the future, we're in trouble. Something's happened. Something has gone wrong or not worked out the way we want it to work out. We'll talk about that later. But let's talk about Sfi.
He's good.
Probably our favorite player. He suddenly got good. Well, he's always been good. But
he's really good now.
He's put together 3 straight games of great games. And we've seen him have great games. We've seen him have 20-point games. But he's had 3 of those in a row. I think he's averaging 19 points a game. This last game against South Dakota State, we'll get into, he looked incredible. At least that first 15 minutes, he looked like the best player in the country. Came back down to earth because I think he got gassed as well. But Sfi currently leads the team in points per game. In terms of ranking, where does he finish the season on the team in scoring?
Ooh, that's tough. I think they're going to be kind of bunched up. Maybe second or third. I mean, it's possible. I think Newman is going to be up there. I think there's a chance, if we actually kind of switch around our game plan a little bit, Doak could get up there. I mean, he had 17 without trying in this last game. And I don't know if Devontae is going to get there. I think Devontae is going to be pretty streaky. He's going to have a game where he scores 30. And then he's going to have a lot of games where he, you know, has 12 and 10 assists and does exactly what we need him to do. So I don't know. I think it's going to be all over the place. That there's a chance that Vic's up there too. I think there's going to be 3 or 4 guys between 13 and 16 points per game.
I think that's right. And I don't know what the order is going to be. At the beginning of the season, you thought it would be an obvious Devontae, maybe Newman, but I don't know. Like, mid-December, we'll have a clearer picture. But and it's going to be interesting to see as we play against these cupcake games, the next several games, how it shakes out. And then really how that changes once Big 12 play comes. Because I think that there can be a stark contrast there. One other takeaway I have from Kentucky is our rebounding, especially in the first half. If you listen to the ESPN commentators, you'll say that it's Kentucky's freshman effort or lack of effort in that first half that contributed to that. But I don't think you should take credit away from our guards, especially guys like Malik Newman, Devontae Graham, and Udoka too, on the big guy side, who really made an effort to get on the glass offensively and defensively. And that's how we stayed in that game in the first half. It should have been a blowout if we were making shots, but the rebounds against that long team, it was all hustle. It was all hustle.
Yeah, it wasn't like 15-1 on offensive rebounds or something ridiculous in the first half.
Which is never going to happen against Kentucky.
Never. Again. This Not team, again, especially this team.
This team or teams in the future, that's never going to happen again.
Yeah, and what was kind of cool was, as you mentioned, it was a lot of guards getting in there. And they weren't getting rebounds, but what they were doing was like getting up and just like tipping it. Like getting a hand in there enough to get the ball in a place where one of the other guards could run over and grab it. Like that happened 10 times in the first half. And Sfee was in there knocking balls out. And as you mentioned, Graham and Newman had 9 boards in that game. I mean, that was obviously something that Self has been pushing to get his guards, especially his 4-guard lineup, the guys that aren't that tall, really crashing the boards. And that is going to absolutely be a factor. We have to have them do that throughout this year because we don't have, I mean, this shouldn't be a great rebounding team. Like on paper, it doesn't make sense to be a great rebounding team, but if they can somehow be a great rebounding team and still be able to shoot the way that they do and spread the floor with the 4-guard lineup, man, watch out. That's awesome. So that was, I completely agree, a huge, huge factor in that game.
And when we look back on this team years in the future, I don't think that line number one of our recollection is going to be, hey, great rebounding team. But if they can come along, it'll definitely make up for some deficiencies in playing this guard-heavy, shooter-heavy lineup. Let's move on and talk about San Diego State just for a little bit.
South Dakota State.
South Dakota State. Yeah, South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits. Jackrabbits. Nate Walters. Okay. A couple things. First of all, congratulations to the folks in the Lawrence and Kansas City area who don't have Spectrum. You are now able to watch the game on 38th spot, unless you have DirecTV.
I have DirecTV.
Yeah. So it moved on to a couple other places. If you have UVerse, you can watch it. If you have Google Fiber, you can watch it. If you have a couple of those other ones, you can watch it. But Spectrum is no longer the monopoly, except for DirecTV, like Kevin.
It sucks, man. Luckily, I figured out a way to like trick it to do whatever to, or you can see it on the laptop and stream it to the television, but it still sucks. I mean, why can't we just see it? I just want to see my game, man.
Yeah, they want you to switch to Spectrum, and I think you should resist as long as you can.
Resistance. I planted the flag. It's flying atop my house. The resistance is strong. Okay, Andrew, a little bit different game than the Kentucky game. Just a little bit. Maybe like total opposite, actually, because we made everything, especially in that first half. We ended up 61% for the field, made about half of our threes. And Sfee went bonkers, 5 for 7 from 3, 27 points. It looked like he was going to score 50.
At one point in the first half, he was on pace for over 50. There was no way he could keep up that production, but he kept going and he kept going, and you know, ended up with 27-5 and 4 steals. Sfee was great. If he can just be, you know, 70% of that player, just make the open shots. That's all I ask of Sfee.
Yeah.
To make the open shots, because he's gonna have those. We have no problem getting open shots with the way we're running this offense. No problem. He's just gotta make them.
Yeah, especially when Doak's in the game, where you have to respect him inside, that frees up shooters all day. I mean, all day long. So, absolutely. That was nice to see, Andrew. We talked before the season, the little preseason games, the exhibition games, he was not playing well.
No.
We were a little concerned, just a little bit. Small sample size, hashtag small sample size, but he's obviously turned it on, and really good to see Sfee do that. Marcus Garrett, Andrew, I want to talk about Marcus Garrett because you're not going to see Marcus Garrett like fill up the box score, I don't think, this year. I love watching him play basketball. He is so good at defense. Like he's our best defender. Like that's end of story.
It should be Devontae, and I think Devontae will end up being it. But Marcus Garrett is basically Travis Relaford. Sophomore junior.
Like, Bill Self is going to play him a lot of minutes. Like, he's going to play a lot. Now, before the season, he was kind of a wild card. Like, we didn't really know what to do with Marcus Garrett. Like, you and I were like, yeah, I don't know, he's going to play a little bit because we need the depth or whatever. He's going to play a lot. He's going to be a key rotational player in this game, on this team this year. He played 30 minutes in that game. He played more minutes than Newman did. But, like, the box score, you look at it, it's like, well, I don't know, I don't have it in front of me, but like 6 points or something, and 4 rebounds and 3 assists or something like that. I don't have it in front of me, but every time he was out there, it felt like he was impacting the game somehow. And on defense, especially, he is fun to watch, and he's going to play a lot.
Quick thoughts on Newman. Is he there yet?
I don't know what there yet means.
Is he living up to your expectations so far?
I think so. I mean, obviously it's small sample size, but you see, like, in his game, just a stupid, ridiculous player with great athleticism and, like, amazing offensive capabilities. So I see that, right? But I want to see more. I guess so. Maybe that's the answer. Like, I want to see a little bit more. I feel like in some ways he is deferring a little bit. And I don't necessarily think he needs to do that. Like, he needs to take it to the hole. We don't have anyone right now that's really driving the lane with a lot of success. Now, frankly, we played Kentucky, and, like, no one's going to have success doing that. And in this last game, we were unconscious from three, so people were just launching. But I'd like to see him get to the hole a little bit more and take his man off the dribble, clear some lanes. That's the one thing I think I'm missing a little bit from Newman's game. And I know it's there. So I want to see that a little bit more. But otherwise, like, no, I don't think he's been, like, a disappointment.
And let's just finish off with Doak, still a monster. He went 8 for 9 in 17 minutes, or for 17 points in 23 minutes. I think he missed 2 shots. It doesn't matter. He's not missing many shots. He only had 2 rebounds. I think that was because that Dom guy brought him out to the free throw and 3-point line and kept him away from the glass, which is smart to do. Against us, if you have a big guy who can get on out on the perimeter. Two other guys we should talk about before moving on. That's Clay Young.
Yes.
Go-to guy, Clay Young. Played 18 minutes, only had 2 points, so that kind of hurts his KenPom stats. Small sample size does not carry the day. But Clay Young is getting legitimate minutes and being relied on in legitimate game time. Not at the end. In the first half.
Yeah, he played 18 freaking minutes. We need another guy bad. Come on, Billy. Come on, Billy. Or Silvio. Get somebody in there. We can't have Clay playing 18 minutes in real games that matter. In this game, like, who cares? He was fine. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. He was actually fine. I mean, I thought he actually played pretty well. But against a like, Big 12 quality opponent.
We can't be playing Clay Young
18 minutes. And your boy Tian hit a three.
Which one?
The one that's on
what's
our
his,
team.
What's his first name?
Yeah, Tian.
They got it wrong on the broadcast, too.
Is it, what does it start with?
It starts with the C.
Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why I wanted to say Chris, and then you guys, like, second guess myself. he's likely the new per 40 guy on points for our team now.
Oh, sure.
I'm pretty sure Clay Young is no longer the per 40 guy. But yeah, Tian hit a three. I want him to keep launching. Keep launching. Get in there and launch.
Well, every time keep he launching, gets in. But don't travel. Don't jump and then come down with the ball because you're going to get blocked. Like, take shots, but take good shots, Chris.
What can you do? So there you go. That was this week. 2-0, Andrew. The tattoos are still good if you have your undefeated season tattoos. You're still good so far. So that's good to know. Should we talk about football for a second?
Yeah. So coming up, we're going to talk about some recruiting news for basketball. We're going to talk about the games coming up next week. We're going to talk about Billy Preston. So there's a lot of basketball talk to come. So don't necessarily tune off because we're talking about football. We have a lot of basketball stuff to cover. But we are going to talk about football for just a little bit.
And really, not really that much football.
Well, it's I will say this. Kevin, you was your first game.
I did.
Yesterday against yesterday. Oklahoma, and you brought your little son, your little boy.
I did. Little guy. Miles, hashtag BIMM, came to the game. He was very bundled up. My wife could not make it. She was not feeling well, so it was just Dad and Miles. I thought I did a pretty good job with my outing. What'd you think?
You did a pretty good job, and that you knew how to delegate. So you got to the tailgate, and you showed up to the tailgate like, you know, we tailgated hard with this one. Like, we showed up at about 11:30, or some of us did, and I mean, that's 3 hours before game time. That's more than KU football deserves. But we hadn't had a good one in a while, so we needed to go out with a bang, despite the performance on the field. So you showed up fairly early. So that's a long time to have a baby at a tailgate. But luckily, there are a lot of women around that you knew would just glom onto the baby immediately. You just passed it off, and you were able to enjoy the tailgate for when you needed to. Then you went and got your baby back.
I did a lot of baby back. Like, let's not just make the point here. Like, in case my wife listens to this, she thinks I just handed the baby off. I was back and forth. I was holding the baby more.
But a good leader knows how to delegate.
That's right. Listen, it's hard to hold a baby and a beer. Like, it's a lot easier to just hold one or the other. And, like, I don't have that many beers very often anymore, especially at tailgates. So it was kind of one of those things. Anyway, whatever. Andrew, I want to talk about before the game. We didn't shake hands with the captains. Did you know this?
Yeah, because I've opened my eyes in the past 24 hours.
And looked at Twitter? We didn't shake hands.
You know, looked at TV, looked at anything. Like, you know what? In the
Sports
moment,
Center... Yeah. Was going bonkers on it. SportsCenter spent like 20 minutes on this last night.
In the moment, I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
Who cares? Yeah, no, I didn't either.
But maybe it's because it's Baker Mayfield who's going to, you know, do his fake Johnny Manziel attitude stuff.
So
I could care less.
Because of that. So think about this. Like, I was giving our guys some credit for this, and it sounds like it wasn't Beatty or anyone else that had it. It sounded like the captains just sort of came up with it and walked out and said, we're not going to shake hands. And because they know, because they've watched enough Baker to know that Baker is a little unhinged. And if you disrespect him or you get in his head, he's going to do something stupid, right? He's either going to play really bad. Maybe he's going to play really good because you pissed him off. He's going to try real hard. Maybe he wasn't going to try real hard against KU. But, like, they did some calculus in their head that we should do something to rile him up. I like that. Personally, like, whatever. Like, and then, unfortunately, they took it maybe a little too far because then they did a few late hits on him and maybe, you know, I don't know, talking a bunch of trash and stuff. Like, the trash talking all day. Please make that. That's part of the game. Trash talk all day. The late hit stuff, I didn't like that. That is where I kind of draw the line. But the handshake, like, who cares? Who cares? And, like, I didn't have any problem with it at all. So, apparently, we did get to him, though, because he wasn't very good in the first half. He was really bad in the first quarter. And he had, you know, season low on yardage and completions and just didn't look great. And we were still in the game to some extent, even though our offense was terrible. I think, Andrew, some of that's attributable to the not shaking hands. How can it not be? Tell me it's not.
I can't tell you it's not.
There you go.
I can't, but I also can tell you, like, let's give some credit to our defense.
The defense was pretty good.
They did, and let's give some credit to the significant wind that was swirling around.
Hey, man.
Memorial Stadium. But I think the defense played well, and all that boiled up into Baker grabbing his junk on national television, ESPN, the Uno. And, of course, the commentator's like, oh, NFL scouts aren't going to like this. Oh, Heisman committee's not going to like this.
Mel Kiper spent 3 minutes on SportsCenter last night saying the same thing, though.
Really? They're like,
just another example of Baker Mayfield. He's just another example. There's three other quarterbacks I'd take above him for this very reason. He's, like, not an NFL guy. You spend all this money, you spend a top pick on a quarterback of the future. That's the CEO of your team. Do you want your CEO grabbing his junk and saying F you to the other team in the middle of a game? He should be focused on it. Like, he went on this whole thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, fair enough. Maybe okay. He shouldn't have done that.
I do like how KU always makes itself relevant in a Heisman Trophy race in some way or another. Like, because you remember Robert Griffin year? Like, he basically won the Heisman Trophy because of the Kansas game. Like, we always make ourselves relevant in the Heisman Trophy hunt, even if we have no business being in the same sentence as the term, or the phrase, Heisman Trophy.
Remember Damon Patterson? Remember his handle?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for Heisman.
DP for Heisman. That was the best handle. All right, anyway. So my favorite part about this whole thing was the fact that afterwards, like, Twitter was a mess about this, with most people, I think, on the Kansas side, seemingly, at least the ones that were tweeting about it, were kind of like embarrassed about it. And I could not disagree more, other than the late hit stuff. Like, again, I'm not condoning the late hits, but like the trash talking and the not shake hands thing, my take, Andrew, is that, and this is where we talk about which side you're going to take. All right. Let the listeners decide as well. My take is, you are Kansas. You have no reason to get excited or up for this game in any way. You're playing Oklahoma on national television. Maybe the only reason you're like up for this game is you don't want to embarrass yourself. That's not really a great reason to be like up for a game. So you got to do something mentally to like get yourself up for this game. These guys, they went in here going, we know we're Kansas. We know you're Oklahoma. But we're not going to lay down to you. And this was like their first example of that. We're not going to shake hands to you. We're going to look at you in the eye. We're going to say we're going to play you. Like, I'm into that, right? That's a football guy thing. And there's no problem with that to me. None whatsoever. You could talk about sportsmanship or whatever. You shake hands after the game. Think about it like a boxer, Andrew. You'd watch a lot of boxing. Boxers, they go out before the match or whatever, and they're like, they try to get you to tap gloves, right, before. Like,
sometimes they don't.
And if a boxer goes, I don't want to tap your glove, I'm going to get this thing going, I'm just disrespecting you, like, boom, great. I have no problem with that. Afterwards, you can hug, you can box, you can do little tap gloves all you want. But, like, if you got to hype yourself up in that way, do it. That's exactly what they were doing. I see no difference here. Like, if you want to say, well, collegiate athletics is really about, you know, sportsmanship and, like, whatever. Like, whatever. Like, get out of here with that. I got nothing wrong with this. Unfortunately, KU Twitter thought otherwise. And I sort of made some takes out there, mostly in line with what I just said. Like, it wasn't crazy. I didn't condone the late hits. I just said whatever. And here are a few tweets in my timeline. If you'd like to search Jayhawk Talk, you can see some more. Twitter's a mess, man. I miss old KU Twitter. Like, old KU Twitter, if this would have happened, they'd have talked about, like, the style in which he grabbed his junk, and is that the appropriate way to grab your junk? Like, that's how old KU Twitter would have responded to this, right? New KU Twitter had the following tweets, and I'm not going to put the names out there, but you can go find them. Quote, we are watching a program spiral out of control. Deneen's actions are indicative of grossly incompetent leadership. Ooh. Number one. Ooh. Number two. It is society today in a nutshell. No respect. Classless stain on the university. Coaches and captains should be dismissed.
Oh, scorching.
Number three. Coach Self would never let this happen. No place for it.
I mean, let's not forget. Let's not forget. Like, the basketball team has been in their share of scrums. And, well.
I mean,
I just remember the tunnel before the VCU game in which... there was a lot of trash talk made, and we end up losing that game. So
we have the Morris twins. Nadir Tharp.
We've got the Morris twins. Like, one of my head immediately went to the Morris twins.
I mean, we've got guys that, let's not kid ourselves here. All right, here's some more. Coin toss was effing dumb. It made a bad situation for those little kids.
Oh, because I'm sure they knew exactly what was going on.
Here we go. Another one. Quote, wow. because we don't have enough disrespect in our country already.
Oh, we immediately go to that. Like, everything gets taken to national political respect Twitter. Everything gets taken there.
Bunch of snowflakes. All right, here's another one. Just seemed very uncharacteristic of KU athletics. Another one. We not only lost the game, but also lost respect by resorting to an unsportsmanlike stunt with two little girls in the middle of it. Jayhawks don't do that.
Oh,
man. One more. Do you see Alabama act this way? What about KU basketball? Beatty should be fired on the spot. Embarrassing to be a KU fan. I agree on the last point. Embarrassing to be a KU football fan. That is accurate, but not because of this stunt. I did get a couple takes that I did like, Andrew, and these are ones that I don't necessarily agree with, but here's a couple just real quick. If you want to be classless, you got to be able to back it up.
I think this is where I'm going to fall on this.
This is where you're going with this?
Yeah. I'm going to fall on that position.
I get that. And then here's the other one. Maybe I could see something good from this game if I weren't so done with Beatty and how this team is further away from being good now than it's ever been. And this is the one I agreed with. Because if you want to come to me and say, this whole thing was nonsense, it was terrible, it's classless, disrespectful, whatever, I'm going to like sort of disagree with you. But then if you say, but it's probably because I just hate this team and I hate the coaching staff and like anything they do bothers me right now. Like, if you came with that, like, qualifier, I totally get it. Like, if that's where you're coming from, totally get it. And I, like, whatever, because I'm sort of there, too. But if you're going to come to me and say, this is such a disrespectful thing, like, what a stain on our university, like, get out of here, whatever. The KU football program is a stain on our university, not the handshake. So, whatever. Anyway, I'll stop talking, Andrew. What do you think?
This is what I got. My opinion, this is where I'm going to fall, and then I want to move on and talk about basketball again, is that I'm going to follow, if you want to be classless, you got to back it up. If you want to talk the talk, you've got to walk the walk. I don't think anyone would have made any bones about this if this was a night game, Alabama, LSU, the captains are focused, you know? Like, you would have been like, ooh, this is going to be a heated matchup.
Right.
If this was KU, and we're at the height of our powers, and we're playing a big game, and you know, the other team's a hated rival, and it's a big game. No one would think anything of it. But because it's Baker Mayfield, everybody's making... And you know what? We didn't back it up. We really didn't. We lost by a bunch. I don't even know what the number was.
But here's my take, Andrew. We did lose by a bunch.
We beat the spread.
But think of how much we would have lost by had we not done this. Think about that.
We still did not walk the walk.
This worked, Andrew. We'd have lost by 100 if we hadn't done this.
To take the boxing analogy, this boxer is expected to lose in the first round. He goes up there and he doesn't shake hands, doesn't like touch gloves, fight clean. And then he gets knocked out in the second round.
Second or third. Yeah, like maybe third.
It's like, ooh, this guy's ready to box. This guy's ready to play. And then he just gets knocked out.
But you know what? His defense was really good. It was his offense that was the problem.
Right.
Like, that was his
issue.
Issue. No, our defense was fine. Those are the guys at the captains. They did a good job. Our offense is just abysmal, and everybody should be fired. All right. I got one more point here, and it's not really about KU football, but it's related. This might make you feel better. KU owns the worst road streak in college football. We know that, right? That is well publicized. Do you know, Andrew, who owns the worst road streak in college basketball?
Ooh, I don't know.
Any guesses?
I Kennesaw State. I don't know.
University of Missouri.
Oh!
How about that?
I like that.
I thought you would. I thought that'd make you feel a little better. 36 in a row they've lost on the road.
Really?
I heard this. This was from, where did I hear this? I think it was on the CBS sports podcast. I think Norlander or some, I don't remember who, Parrish might have had it. But 36 in a row, worst road streak in college basketball belongs to University of Missouri. So does that make you feel like a little better?
It makes me feel a little better.
Just like, a little
not,
better.
Not a lot better, but it makes me feel a little bit better.
That's all we were hoping for. All right, like, let's talk more basketball.
Because I think their team's pretty good this year, but man, that made my whole body feel a little bit warmer.
Just a little warmer.
I like that.
Well, speaking of Mizzou, Andrew, let's talk about some other news. And this is just again, we're moved on from KU football, but this one little more football note. Mizzou and K-State, Andrew, announced this week that they're going to do a home-and-home football game. How about that?
I love that game.
And so...
I love it. I love it because Mizzou is going to be able to say, like, well, all these other Big 12s are playing are playing us. Why aren't you playing us, Kansas? We're like, we don't care. We don't care.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this, and I had a take, and... So there's all these political takes going on. So those, all those policy, political people, snowflakes will like this. They're probably the only people that will. I had this idea, Andrew. We're going to come up with when they like gearing up to when they're about to play. I don't know. It's like 2020 or something. We're going to buy a bunch of Facebook ads. All right. Fake ads. And we're going to design them in a way that like, and it's going to be in Manhattan and in Columbia and in like surrounding areas, surrounding counties, like crappy middle of Missouri counties and like some western Kansas counties. And we're going to appeal to the worst of both fan bases with these ads. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
And we're going to try to fire them up so hard against one another. They're going to be coming with like torches and, you know, t-shirts, and it's going to be really bad. I mean, we're going to fire them up so hard. It's all fake ads. We're going to do it on Facebook. We're doing it on Twitter. We're doing it on Instagram. We're going to come up with all these ads, and we're going to just completely rile up the two fan bases against
chaos.
What do you think?
Just cause chaos.
Just create chaos. What do you think?
I like it. I mean, okay. I don't think this has ever been done before. It's quite a novel idea, and I think it would work. Like, just because we know that there's those guys on both sides who just need that little extra push, who just need a place to express their their views and to act on those views. And I think that they just need a little extra push. And I think if you just jump in there with some ads, some little Facebook ads, get them commenting, get them riled up. I think this is good. This is a good.
It worked for Russia. I mean, if they can do it, you and I can do it. Like, let's just.
Russia. Oh yeah.
Let's talk about recruiting, Andrew, because this recruiting class is starting to look pretty good. We got Grimes, Andrew, this week, and that was sort of expected, but still, like, whatever. That's awesome. He's a top 15 guy, 5-star combo guard. He is added to this list of players. Dotson, number 17 in Rivals, point guard. D'Souza, 25 in Rivals, 6'9", power forward. And McCormick, center, power forward, what do we want to call him, 33 in Rivals. That's four guys in the top 35 in Rivals that are already committed in the early period, Andrew. We got these guys early, the locked up. And remember, we've talked about Self in the past, like, oh God, he's only got one guy or two guys early. Like, he can just sit back. He's got a great class right now, number one class in Rivals and 24/7 everywhere else. And like, if he somehow ends up getting whatever, Zion or Romeo Langford, like, all of a sudden, it's, like, the best class he's ever had. But even if you don't, like, this class is awesome.
And don't forget that you have Diedrich and KJ Lawson.
Oh.
Who, Diedrich was scoring 19-9 at Memphis.
He's an All-American. He could be an All-American.
And KJ had numbers that Doak has right now for Memphis.
Like, basically,
13-9, 13-8. That's what Diedrich had. Or KJ. Yeah. So we've got guys who, if you had to rank new players who would start, just newcomers, transfers, and freshmen, you'd probably put the Lawsons and maybe even Charlie Moore ahead of these guys. So you've got seven guys who are going to be tops in the country in terms of newcomers. It's going to be a young team, an inexperienced team, but it's going to be a good team.
The future is bright. Andrew, the future is very bright. Except and some of those guys are going to be...
Except for one guy.
Yeah, so we have a new podcast segment. And really, the idea for the segment started with recruiting class. Because as you mentioned, Andrew, let's just talk about next year's front court. I mean, we've got potentially... I mean, it's possible Billy Preston comes back. It's possible Azubuike comes back. I assume they'll both... look at the NBA. But even if they don't, or maybe one of them comes back, as you mentioned, got the Lawson brothers, Diedrich and KJ. You got D'Souza coming for sure. You got McCormick. You might have Azubuike. You might have Billy Preston. Andrew, you also have Mitch Lightfoot?
Where's Mitch going to go?
So this podcast segment is called...
How's Mitch going to play?
What's it called?
Sorry,
Mitch. Like, that's the name of this podcast segment. Sorry, Mitch. Yeah, so Sorry, Mitch is going to be a podcast segment that we have. And there's going to be times when it applies to other things, but right now it's... Sorry, Mitch.
Sorry, Mitch.
Someone, I can't remember who it was, sent me a tweet and said something like, Mitch is going to be getting some letters from Creighton and Nebraska pretty soon.
Like, yeah. Western Kentucky. UTEP.
So, anyway.
New Mexico.
Yeah, sorry, Mitch. But
I love whatever. Mitch, but man, he's going to be like seventh on the depth chart in terms of big guys.
All of a sudden, he is deep on that bench.
He's like the 13th guy.
I know. And right now, he's actually playing a lot of minutes. So, we'll see. We'll also see if Billy comes back and D'Souza ends up here at semester. I mean, I think he'll be ahead of D'Souza and maybe even Billy a little bit, but that won't last. If D'Souza ends up actually learning the offense enough to be out there and, you know, not hurting the team, like, there's a chance Mitch might not play a lot like late this year.
I will say this. Okay, so Statboy gave me some stats yesterday that I wanted to share. This is called box plus minus. I don't know what it means, but it's okay. You can get it on College Basketball Reference. And it's basically a box score stat that just takes your box score stats and puts you into a plus minus versus an average player. On offense, Mitch Lightfoot is like -8, -9, which is terrible.
Okay.
But on defense, surprisingly, he's like plus 19.
Ooh.
Which Jeff Withey led college basketball in this statistic in 2013 with plus 11.
Wow. Small sample size.
He doesn't have a lot of minutes. It's a smaller sample size. He hasn't got a ton. But like he's currently leading the NCAA right now by a bunch. So I think it's because he gets those minutes. I mean, he didn't play a ton against Kentucky, so he's played against some bad teams and very few minutes against those bad teams. And in those few minutes, he's gotten quite a few blocks and lucked into some steals and maybe legitimately got some steals. Yeah. So, Mitch, I'll say this, underrated defensive player.
He actually is really good at timing blocks. Like, he's an excellent, like, blocker of basketballs. I just think he's really good at it against 6'4 dudes. I'm not sure he's going to be able to block. I don't know how often he's blocking, like Dedrick Lawson in practice. Maybe he is, but we'll see. Sorry, Mitch, but I like the stat. Keep the stats coming. Tell Statboy.
Yeah. Okay. So in the future, I'll either have him come on and do it or have him explain it better to me. Because I don't think I did a great job.
I thought you nailed it.
Explaining that. Anyway, I'll just say, 11 is what Jeff Withey was, and 19 is way bigger than 11. Like, that's all you got to know.
Oh, man. All right, very good. I'm excited for this. This next segment, Andrew, we're calling it Billy Preston Rutrow.
Rutrow. So we learned on Tuesday night, like 5 minutes before the game starts, that Billy Preston is being held out from the game as the from the result of a car accident. And you hear that, you immediately think, DUI, what happened? It was not a DUI. Farthest thing from a DUI as possible, it was just a little fender bender, or a single car, I think he hit a curb, or something like that, that resulted in some tire damage. I've done that in Lawrence recently, and popped my tire on a curb. Trying to get to a basketball game. So it happens. Like Billy, it's not a poor driving thing, or so I'm told. It's just, it happens in Lawrence. The streets are tricky. The reason he's being held out is that we don't quite know who owned the car.
Who gave him the car? What kind of car is it?
My thought initially is that, do you know how easy it is to look up a VIN number?
It's very, very, very easy.
Like, we should have been able to figure this out
Oh, it's figured out. That part is figured out. It's the next step.
It's probably the NCAA determining what the punishment is and how many games he has to sit out.
Well, I think it's probably self-reporting right now. Like, I imagine this is, well, I mean, you might be right in terms of like where we're at in the process, but once it happened, someone was like, all right, you know, he got a call. Hey, Billy had a little fender bender. He's okay. Well, what's the story? Well, he was driving a Dodge Charger, and someone goes, is that his Dodge Charger? And they're like, no, I think he was borrowing it. And then we go, alarm bells, like red flags. We got to talk to compliance. And then everyone is on freaking tilt right now with the FBI stuff and everything else. So you knew this was not going to be like a quick, unless, you know, whatever, it's his brother's car or something. It clearly was not his brother's car, or it clearly was not a very easy explanation. Otherwise, this would be freaking settled by now, right? So there's more obviously going on. Anyone that says, like, oh, this process is just playing out, like, no, this is probably bad. I think you're right. He's going to sit out games. Hopefully we see him this year. Hopefully we see him by semester. Like, right now, if you were to guess, will we see him in the next 5 games?
I'm going to say yes, but I think it's like probably – he's probably going to have to sit 5 or 6. I think they'll come out and say he's got to sit 5, including already games he's already sat for.
So
he's 2 in. I think we'll
Do we see him by semester?
Yes.
So we see him before semester.
Yes.
Okay. I think it's going to be over. I think we'll see him this year, but I think it's second semester.
I think if it's second semester, he's not coming back.
It's possible. Like right now, what do you think the chances are of just he doesn't play at all this year?
Oh, pretty good. I mean, like 30%.
Yeah, I was going to say between 40 and 50. I this is bad. If it wasn't, here's the thing.
Wouldn't be, because I don't know if you can get the value. It's not like he was given the car. It's not like they changed title. Who knows? Over. So you can calculate the value. Well, we don't know that.
Yeah.
But.
A lot of unknowns.
If it was his car, they'd just say, oh, it's his car. Right. But it's not his car. So that they can determine value of that. You know, he wasn't given, if it's a Dodge Charger, you did a little research. I'll jump on your valet here. you looked up the Kelley Blue Book value of a loaded 2013 Dodge Charger, which I guess is rumored to be the car.
I've heard that from multiple people.
I haven't heard that. I guess
that's all Twitter people saying it. So there might be like one guy who's like, I heard it was a Charger. And then like everyone got on board. Well, let's just call it a Charger.
Okay. Let's just say it's $23,500. Like, we're just going to go with that. He was not given the equivalent of $23,500. He was given like the car for however long it was. It's not, you know, permanent ownership. It's probably been for the past couple months or maybe past couple weeks. Who knows? So they can come up with some kind of value, and I'm sure they have guidelines that dictate what that is. That's at the NCAA. And so if he, you know, repays that money and serves his suspension, he can come back. But I don't feel great about it.
No. Yeah, the more you think about it, the more you talk it through, you're like, this is not good. Does it matter, Andrew, how nice the car is?
Because
I think it does.
I prefer it to be like a Ford Pinto.
I think it matters, obviously. Because if, like, he was driving around in that Charger and it didn't have, like, leather interior, like, why are we even talking about this? You know what I mean? Like, if it didn't have, like the upgraded speaker system, like, why are we even talking about this? Like, who cares? But if it had those things, or it was like a Porsche or, you know, whatever, like, then that's different. But if someone let him borrow a Miata, like, are we having this conversation?
No.
Right?
Well, and the one thing, I'll just take it back to basketball, is that Billy needed these early games to get into the flow of the team. Because I don't think he was there yet in the preseason games. He needed these games. So even if he comes back, let's say mid-December, late December for Big 12, he's not going to be ready for Big 12 play. Like, he's not going to get he's going to have to play because he has to play, because Clay Young is getting 18 minutes a game. But he's not ready, so he needs this. So it's more of a – it's going to hurt the team, not the sense that he's there, but it's going to take him longer to get to where he needs to be.
Yeah, I agree. And so let's talk about that. Let's just say he does come back in five games. How does he fit in? Is he immediately the sixth man off the bench, or maybe seventh in that rotation? Or is he a is he sort of Mitch Lightfoot right now?
Well, we're sort of learning how to play without him.
Yeah.
I think he spells Doak for pieces. I mean, Doak gets a little, gets some more rest and gets some bigger breathers. But, early in the year, we were talking about, is Billy Preston going to start, or is LeGerald Vick going to start? Well, we know that answer. Yep. LeGerald Vick's going to play 30, 40, or 35 minutes a game, as much as he possibly can. Same with Sviatoslav. So those minutes are going to be limited for him, just in terms of this is how we're going to play. This is how we've kind of figured out how to play. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting couple weeks for him, and if he doesn't end up playing, then we'll figure it out. And I hope he gets there, and I hope it's all a misunderstanding, but I don't have great attitude about it.
I think you're right, by the way, when you said that, when you talk about, because early on we were talking about, okay, does he come in and play the four with Doak, right? Do we play two bigs, three out, two in? I think you're exactly right. I don't think the answer is no. I mean, if he's playing, he's probably playing with Doak not in the game. Maybe, there's some time when he's playing the four by himself, but man,
that's not going to be the primary.
It's not. No
way we're going to play.
And that's partly because he hasn't been here. So we've had to play this way. And honestly, you give those guys a chance. You give, you give Vic and Svi 30 minutes a game and they come out and show out, and you give them, the opportunity for, for someone like Garrett to come out and actually show that he belongs. I think partially this is a problem for him, not just because he's not playing, but because he's not playing, we have to learn, man, where does he fit when he does come back? I mean, he's going to play, but I'm with you. I just don't think he's going to have the same role he might have had he started from the beginning. We could be wrong. Who knows? I mean, I know he's practicing, so he's obviously there every day with the team, and they obviously want him to play, but I don't know. We'll see.
All right, Kevin. Thanksgiving is coming up this Thursday. I hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving and has some time with their family, has some good food, has some their friends and family around, and watch maybe a little bit of football, a little bit of basketball. It's Feast Week. So, Kevin, you did a little preview of some games you could possibly watch beyond KU in the Big 12. There's a bunch of good ones.
There's some decent games. Because, it's Feast Week.
I mean, other than KU playing Kentucky and maybe West Virginia playing Texas A&M, nobody in the Big 12 has played anybody.
Yeah.
But that changes this week.
Well, so A&M, the aforementioned A&M, plays Oklahoma State tonight. That's probably going to be an ugly game. Baylor plays Wisconsin. I think this is in Kansas City. Yeah, it is. It's the Hall of Fame Classic. I think that's tonight. Tomorrow. Baylor plays Wisconsin. That'll be a fun little game too. Texas Tech plays Northwestern tonight. That's the one I was thinking about. That'll be a good game. Tech and Northwestern. Northwestern's ranked, Andrew. They're like 20th right now. So, let's fast forward to the middle of the week. Thursday, that would be Thanksgiving. We've got Arkansas and Oklahoma on ESPN2. That could be a fun little game. That's 4 o'clock game. So if you're not feeling the football, switch it over and watch some Arkansas Oklahoma. And if you're wanting a doubleheader, check out Butler and Texas, also on ESPN2, and K-State Arizona State on Fox Sports. So there's a day of Big 12 basketball on Thursday, three decent games. And then Friday we play Oakland, New Mexico plays TCU, a little decent matchup. And that's pretty much it for the week. So there's some decent games on the Big 12.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, Kevin. And as a treat to our listeners, I think we're going to end the podcast with some Hey Beals.
Hey Beal. Would you like to go first, or would you like me to?
I can go first.
Okay.
Let me pull up my Hey Beals.
So Hey Beal, if you haven't heard, this is the segment where we do Hey Beals, where we ask Beal self questions similar to what we've heard people ask in like these, you know, events where he goes around and does the circuit in Western Kansas and wherever else he goes, Salina. He always gets some interesting questions. We came up with our own.
All right. Hey, Beal, do you ever crop dust the other team in the handshake line?
Hey, Beal, I heard we was getting a Latino fella to join us at semester, but I never knew a good Latino basketball player. I trust your judgment, but is DeSalsa going to be any good?
Hey, Bill, do you want to go in with me on a Joseph A. Bank 5-for-1 holiday suit extravaganza? I know you're a big suit guy. I know you're a big tie guy. Your ties are great. So I'm thinking about going in. If you want to get in on that, let me know.
Hey, Bill, I'm starting to think the more obscure the name, the better the KU player is these days. We got Udoka Azubuike and Svi Melikalikimaka. If you want some guys to target in 19, I've been doing a little research. I'm particularly fond of Balsa, Koprakova, Precious, Chihuahua, and Armando Bacon. And then there's also this other cat in Yoka Okungwango and Kofi Cockburn. And hell, that's just in the first 30 ranked fellas.
Ooh. Hey, Bill, Thanksgiving's coming up, and I wanted to know, are you more of a white meat guy or more of a dark meat guy?
Hey, Bill, I know they call it a heat check when a fella wants to see if he's on fire, but have you considered just starting the game with some heat checks, you know, just to see?
I mean, we got to check. You got to check. You got to check just to be safe. And Bill, hey, Bill, what's LeGerald's hairstyle called? I need to tell my barber what to do.
Hey, Bill, I've been thinking about starting an Uber service in Lawrence just for them KU basketball players to keep track of the Billy Preston thing and Josh Jackson kicking the car thing from happening. You know what I'm saying? I only got a truck, but I can fit 10 or 12 fellas in the back. I need your opinion, though. You think Larry Keating would let me call it K-Uber?
Cooper.
Cooper?
K-Uber. K-Uber. Cooper. All right, Kevin.
That was Hey Beal.
That was Hey Beal. That was Hey Beal. I don't know if we should keep doing this. I think we're getting worse at it. We had some good ones.
I like your Joseph A. Bank one. That was my favorite. Yeah.
Well, everyone knows that Bill is a stylish guy.
He is a stylish guy. I kind of like the
DeSalsa. And by stylish guy, not really. Yeah, DeSalsa, I like that one. All right. Well, I think we should bring this back, but maybe we shouldn't do it every week.
Okay, deal. We've had some good feedback. But, yeah, I agree.
I think it's like, quality. You guys like this? All right, now I'm going to take you out in the back, and we're going to smoke a whole pack of Hey Beal. It's like, I don't want to smoke a whole pack.
You gotta, hey, you like one, you're going to like a lot of them. All right, Andrew, I think that we are undefeated, that we've got only, was it one more KU football game left?
Yeah, Oklahoma State.
So we can talk the whole podcast about KU basketball, basically starting now.
What we should be doing anyway, but...
Yes. Listen, I mean, stuff happens. If you looked at my freaking Twitter mentions just over the past hour, you would think there's no KU basketball going on. It is all terrible hot takes about Baker Mayfield and handshakes. I'm about to, like, mute Twitter. Anyway, Andrew, I think the good news is, again, we're undefeated. We beat Kentucky this week. It is a good time to be a KU fan. Let's all hold hands. We're going to get through this KU football thing together, and then it's officially KU basketball season. And I am jacked for KU basketball.
Me too.
Okay, you are. Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. Oh, totally. Okay. We got some good games coming up this week. We didn't really get to our preview of that. We play Oakland, and we play – who do we play on Tuesday?
Texas Southern. I think they're 0-4.
The Fighting Texas Southerners.
Yeah, that's going to be bad.
You know,
Oakland's pretty good, though.
Oakland's good. They do, just a quick preview, they have a really good player, Kendrick Nunn.
Oh, yeah.
One of the higher scoring players in the country, so we'll be looking to take him out of the game as much as we can, or at least limit him to scoring not 30 points like he usually does. But so he'll be an interesting guy to watch against Oakland. But once again, no one interesting in terms of our schedule until like Syracuse coming up down the road. Maybe Toledo, probably not. But once again, we'll be back next Sunday. We'll be into December almost. Be into the meat of the non-conference schedule. I think we'll know a little bit more about Billy Preston and a little bit more about our team come next Sunday.
I hope so. Hopefully two blowouts. It's been fun, Andrew. We will catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Thank you for listening, and rock show. I tried to tell them
every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans.